Okay, great. So it's wonderful to see everybody. Let's just sing a little bit. The Nigun, the Shema Nigun that we've been doing, goes like this. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echa. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echa. Shema Amen. I love that melody. That melody was composed by Tziona Acheshena, who you could find her on Facebook. She lives in Israel now, and I think she's still recording a lot of music and has albums and different things. So if you're looking for more Hebrew chanting, she's a great one. I know her from when she lived in Berkeley, when she was just starting to get into Judaism and applying her music to it. Now she's extremely religious, Israel and so on. Anyway, I wanted to check in with folks a little bit about how the practice is going rather than going right into the meditation all at once. And also just to briefly kind of review the different elements that we've been learning, because there's a few different dimensions of the practice that we're doing. It's a little complex. I think I'm going to mute people for now just to make the sound a little better. There we go. So one element, probably the most complex part, is the breathing of the divine name, with putting the letters in different parts of the body, so that as you breathe in three sips of air, your attention is moving from the head to the chest, to the belly, and then the head, the belly, and the chest, and then the chest, and the head, and the belly, and so on. So that's, and then as we fill the body with light, then we're projecting the light out in one of the six directions. So that's one thing that's going on. Another thing, which is perhaps equally as complex, are the hand motions. Both the pointing and the direction, and then the drawing of three circles. Those are the three circles. Oh, yeah, Stephen's got it. Beautiful. And after we do the three circles, before we finish the three circles, the last one involves looking up and down and then leaning in the four directions with the final dalet, which we're sounding as a TH, a vocalized TH, as in the word the. And then we're bringing the light in from the six directions with the same hands that were used before, using the Baruch Shem Kavod Le'olam Va'ed. And I believe that pretty much encompasses the different dimensions of. Of course, there are also some thoughts, some understandings of the words that you can bring in. But in my experience of doing this kind of practice, and also all the other practices where there's meanings to the words that you can bring in during the actual chanting of the words, is that sometimes it's helpful for me to bring in the meanings, and other times I just let the conceptual mind go completely, and I'm not using the meanings of the words at all. I'm just resting in the vibration of the sounds. So you may find that useful in your own practice. But we talked about the meanings of the words being Shema is reminding us of our identity as awareness, And Yisrael is reminding us of our smaller intentional identity of having the intention of spiritual growth, of Yisrael as meaning as being the direction of having a direction in your life towards spiritual growth as the main theme in the midst of all the other various themes that are going on. That's the Yisrael theme. And then the divine name, Adonai, which is having a devotional relationship to existence itself, and existence is represented by the four-letter name. And then Eloheinu is reminding us that the awareness that we are, which is the Shema, is not something separate or different from the existence itself. In other words, existence, God is waking up as us. Or the opposite. God is going to sleep into us. You think of it the other way too. We're born into this world and the divine or existence doesn't know what it is, but it finds itself in this body, in this form, and then it learns how to be a person with the story of our lives and so on. But ultimately, as we do this practice, we're sort of reaching back to what is our existence actually before it becomes our individual self, and that's being or existence itself. So Adonai is Eloheinu; they're not two separate things. And then Adonai Echad, the affirmation of the simple fact that there's just one reality, and all these different things are part of the one thing. So if you kind of focus your mind on those different meanings as you're doing the Shema, you'll certainly have to do it a little bit more slowly than if you don't do that, because it takes a certain intensity to kind of like grasp each of those things as you're going along. Another piece that I was saying the other night in the other class, I think Ruth was there for that, is just to remember that this kind of practice is really much more powerful in combination with very simple meditation in which you're not thinking about any of this stuff. So I like to use this Shema as an opening to simple meditation where we're just breathing and perhaps using Atahu or Atyahi or whatever simple phrase you want to use. And the effect is that when you really kind of focus and concentrate your mind on visualizing the energies and different moving your awareness through different parts of the body and so on, that's a very, it takes a certain effort to focus your mind in that way. And then when you stop focusing your mind and release, you can come to a greater place of stillness and allow the thinking mind to come to a greater place of rest, at least for a certain span of time. Because of the fact that you were just focusing it so intensely. It's kind of like tensing up a muscle in order and then relaxing it. And you can often relax the muscle more deeply if you tense it first because the visceral experience of the tension allows you to feel into what it means to not be tense. So those are just a few points I wanted to bring out before we started and then learn the last thing. And I just want to open it up. So I'm going to, there's a few of us here. I'm just going to unmute everybody. Let's see if this works. Well, there we go. Unmute. There we go. So just wanted to see if anybody has any comments or sharings or questions about how it's going for you or confusions or anything.
Very satisfied with how it's going.
Oh, good. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, the bringing in the light for me restores energy that I had built up from the past in like Tai Chi and Qigong and prior meditation. So it's pretty wonderful to have the light and then out through the feet with energy work. It's fun. It's fun to have that renewed.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm still feeling the, like, I can only imagine light only to a certain distance, not very far, not way up there or way down there. But I'm just remembering what you said about you just, you know, have the intention and maybe eventually, I don't know why, I just am not, I'm practicing it, but I'm not.
You don't have that feeling that it's kind of extending
it. Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. That really is fine. I had a teacher a long time ago that did various visualization things, and it wasn't necessarily in the context of what we're working with in terms of spiritual awakening, but there were exercises of visualization. And something she said that I thought was just really just very simple and a good rule of thumb for any kind of visualization is she said, visualize blah, blah, blah. And then she said, and if you can't visualize it, just know it's there.
Right.
And really that's good because there's two different levels of it. One is this is kind of a skill. It's really a mechanical kind of skill if you can make your brain visualize something or not. It really has nothing to do with the actual phenomenon that we're going for, which is realizing yourself as awareness, the shift of sense of identity from individual being to the space of awareness. They're not, one isn't really dependent on the other, but doing the visualization practice is helpful for shifting into that realization. But the technical perfection of that visualization is not really necessary at all. You know, as you do it, you'll get better at it as you do it. But even more importantly than getting better at it, than getting better at the visualization, is getting better at not getting caught in whether the visualization is working or not. So in a way, it's kind of a nice opportunity when it doesn't work, because then you have the opportunity of, then you get to practice letting go of it being perfect, because that's the actual egoic impulse. That's the ego saying, I want to control this and make the experience the way I'm thinking it should be. Right. So,
right. So doing it right. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, everything we do is a practice for that. But sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're doing a spiritual practice, because we just sort of unconsciously assume that if this is the spiritual practice, we must have to get it right in order for it to work. Yeah. But in actuality, all things we do the ego attaches itself in the same way to all things we do. It finds a way to get in there because it's the basic default way of relating to things. So everything is a practice of letting go and letting it be as it is. And I have a lot of problems with certain types of visualization also that I do anyway. I feel sometimes the light is going off in different directions. I'm pointing it that way and it's going that way. Okay. No big deal.
Yeah. Good to hear.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So does anybody have any questions or challenges with the actual practice itself as we've learned it, such as the drawing of the circles, which hand goes where, this kind of technical stuff? Yeah, Stephen.
I'm not having a problem with it because I've let go of even learning those practices. The initial practice from the first couple of meetings with the, I've discovered my heart, my tefillah as the balance between the intensity up here and the intensity down there, in to be focused on it being a sacred gift, how I'm experiencing that. And so I'm still absorbing it's been a wonderful addition to my basic practice, and I want to continue to absorb that much before I venture further. I'm planning on using these video lessons when I'm ready to move into the other stuff you've taught us, and I'm looking forward to, by the time you teach this again, I'll be more ripe for learning you've given me more than I can absorb the way as deeply as I'm absorbing what I'm needing.
Great, yeah. And that's I prefer to do that than give you not enough. even though some people can, you know, can feel like overwhelmed, like, oh, is it so much, all this stuff I have to learn, but you seem to be taking the right attitude. There's no race. You can absorb it at your own pace in the right time.
And because each time I'm using it, it's more discoveries.
Yeah.
It's skill building with it. And that seems, you know, like you said, go with the flow, and I'm doing it.
Very nice. Yeah. And you do this in practice you can do for years and years and years and still get more out of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I may say one more thing,
yeah,
Rabbi. Remember in our initial talks, I told you about my own personal way of getting focused on the divine and how you said that you didn't know a particular teacher who specializes in that. Remember?
Specializes in, I'm not sure I got that.
That sexual arousal.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Incorporating that into the meditation practice.
Right.
And so the sips of breath and allowing the center to really be the center, and each of those combinations has personal sacred meaning, the way it's configured, which is providing me with the path that I was seeking when I first talked with you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you follow me now?
Yes, yes, and that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me that would happen because of the fact that all the different parts of our body represent different functions, different centers of activity. And when we're moving energy through them in different ways, and we're that the tendency is that would create a balance and not a kind of fixating on one place or the other.
Right.
That's
right.
Good. That's wonderful. That's great to hear. Good testimonial, even though I said that wasn't, you know, my specialty, but good, good.
It's working.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Amen.
So today I want to bring in the Vayahavta. And as you probably know, after the traditional chanting of the Shema, there are these scriptural passages that are recited. And they're fairly lengthy. There's three different paragraphs if you go to a traditional minyan, traditional service. Not reform, but like conservative or orthodox, because reform cuts out the middle one. but there's three different paragraphs, and each of them have different themes of how to kind of focus yourself on the divine. The first one is all about love. It's all about just focusing your heart on the divine, like you're constantly bringing yourself back to focus on God with your heart, but you're also the mental part of it is that you have the words, these mental words that are telling you focus your heart on the divine. So it talks about Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elohecha b'chol levavcha, love God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and so on. And then take those words and think of them when you lie down, when you get up, when you're walking around, when you're sitting around, teach them to your children. And put them on your gates. So that's the little place where the mezuzah comes from, where we have the mezuzah on the door. It says it in that paragraph. Post this on your gates, on your doorposts and on your gates. Stephen, did you want to say something?
I will if it's okay.
Sure.
I have my own take on all of that as part of my daily meditation. For example, teaching my children often means using the awareness to heal those childish parts in me. And the gates are the gates of where I'm opening up the portals rather than that. Yeah. Thank you for the affirmation.
Absolutely. Well, the thing, so that kind of gets to just a more general issue too, of how to work with these sacred texts. And you just showed an example of it, which is that if you have, well, I should say, to the degree that you take on the practice of chanting the traditional texts and the traditional tefillot daily, sometimes you'll be chanting them and they won't mean anything in particular. You're just kind of doing it because you've committed to doing it. And so you're just chanting it. And hopefully you're getting the value in there of connecting yourself to the lineage by becoming a holder of those sacred texts and chanting them daily and feeling and meditating into the vibration of the words without even necessarily dwelling on the meanings at all. But then sometimes certain of the meanings will cry out to you, will speak to you, and you'll start to have insights about how to incorporate those meanings into either something like what Stephen was saying, which is it developed into part of your daily practice that those things become contemplations for you every day. And other times it may mean something to you only one day. And there's many wonderful anecdotal pieces of various Rebbe's, various masters of when they're praying with a congregation, how they stop on a certain line and that line is dwelled on longer. Maybe they'll burst into tears at a certain line, or maybe they'll stop altogether and turn around and give a teaching because that line signaled something, or things like this where the sacred texts of our tradition become the mirrors for what needs to really be seen in the moment, something that's alive in the moment. And that can only happen, of course, when you get very familiar with it. So that's part of also the plug for taking these things on and making them part of you and doing them every day, you know, to the degree that wherever you're at with it is fine. But in what we'll do today is we're actually just going to look only at the very first line of the Ve'ahavta, which says, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, that you shall love the divine, which is your, literally means your God, but I think of it as your own inner divinity. So the divinity that we are is not separate from the divine that we tend to picture as something that we're devoted towards, that we're bowing towards. So it kind of encompasses the dual and the non-dual, you know, which is part of the beauty of prayer, is that the technology of prayer is to imagine that God is something outside of us that we're relating to. Like there's me and then there's God, and I'm bowing before God, I'm praying to God and so on. But then at the same time, there can be the realization that the me that's praying to God is itself nothing but God as well. And so you can kind of rest in you can allow that non-dual perception to grow within the context of a dualistic practice, the dual and the non-dual together. And this is how heart-centered practices, you know, what in India is called bhakti practices, things that have to do with arousing the energy of the heart. This is really the angle, you know, the portal of the heart, is imagining, thinking of the divine as something that we're relating to, but also allowing that to open to the realization that there is only divine. So then we have these three little pieces. It says, Bechol levavcha means with all of your heart. Uvechol nafshecha means all of, it's sometimes translated all of your soul. but the word nefesh does not only mean soul. The word nefesh can also just mean person. It can also mean body. So, you know, we tend to think of this, the body and the soul, as two different things, but the word nefesh is actually used sometimes as a person, like a person is called a nefesh. Sometimes their body is their nefesh. And sometimes it has more of a soul, a spirit kind of connotation to it. In Kabbalah, the different words for soul, the main ones of which are nefesh and ruach and neshama, are thought of as different dimensions of our being. So the nefesh is the most physical aspect of our being, and the ruach has to do with the, ruach means wind, so it has the connotation of the movement of the wind, which has to do with our emotions, our feelings, that, that kind of surge and are powerful sometimes and other times are very calm. And then the neshama has to do with the intellect, the mind, which is kind of at a level above, kind of aloof from emotions and body. And then we have the level, of course, beyond that, which is the awareness of all of those things. And all of those things are made out of awareness anyway. So that's the greater context, that there are other words that are used for that, such as Chaya and Yechida in Kabbalah. But anyway, getting back to our word in this practice, the word is nefesh, and the phrase is uvechol nafshecha, all of your soul. And so when we say bechol levavecha, we're going to embed that in the integral Jewish meditation practice that we already know, bringing the right hand to your heart and chanting bechol levavecha, and then taking that kavanah of offering our awareness as an act of love, and then putting the word lacha in there. So we're going to put the lacha naseh v'nishma and embed it in between the words of the ve'ahavta. And we'll chant lacha. And then uvechol nafshecha, bringing the left hand to the belly and in a progressive way, filling the body with awareness and allowing awareness to rest on the breathing and so on. And then chant naaseh. And then bringing the right hand to the heart, forehead, and say uvechol meodecha. So what is that? Meodecha is a very strange word. It's usually translated in English as all of your might or all of your strength. Has anyone seen that? Seen it translated that way? So it doesn't mean strength at all. The word for strength in Hebrew, there's oz. Oz can be strength. Chazak means strong, but this is the word me'od. The word me'od actually means very. So it's an adjective. So when it says uvechol me'odecha, it literally means all of your veriness. Hmm. All of your veriness, something like that. It's a strange sort of thing. And of course the way we'll be allowing that to be a hint for the fact that we are not just this mind and these emotions and this body. We are very, very much more than that. That's how I'm kind of thinking of the Modecha, is bringing to mind that the fullness of our entire experience, not just the personal, but the full field, our full sensory field, and the mental field of our awareness and our minds of what the universe is, of what's beyond our immediate experience, and the mystery beyond that is all part of what we are, because it all exists in awareness itself. And so we'll do Vinishma with that, and then we'll go into a period of silent meditation and just let go of all of the directing of the mind altogether and just be the open awareness. So before we jump into it and do the practice together, does anybody have any questions about that? Or I'll guide us through it, of course, but just the description that I gave of how we'll do Ve'ahavta.
Can you repeat it one more time, just summarize?
Sure. So after we say Baruch Shem Kavod, I'm going to come into a better position here. After we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed, then we can bring hands together over the heart. You could do this kind of prayer pose if you want, or you could bring hands to the heart. Either way is fine. And then we'll chant Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. And then we'll go into the three portals. So bring right hand to the heart. Bechol levavacha. And then lecha, offering awareness. Lecha. And then uvechol nafshecha. And I'll kind of guide us in a body awareness, progressive body awareness. And we'll chant naase. And then bringing hand to the forehead. Uvechol nafshecha. And aware of the vast field of awareness itself, and then chant Vinishma, we'll kiss hands, and then we'll come into silent meditation together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I just want to, one moment, let me get my meditation bell. I forgot to put it over here. One second. Okay. So when I'm guiding the meditation, guiding the meditation works pretty well, except for in one spot, which is after we say Adonai Echad, and we say Echad, we look up and we look down, and then we say the TH sound in the four directions. I can't really guide that and do it at the same time. So I think what I'll do is not guide that. I'll just do it. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
You all got the idea of it, so I don't have to say it, explain it. Okay, great. All right, so coming into a position, whatever's good for you for meditation. And I'm going to hit the mute button here. There we go. And let's just sit for a moment and start to bring awareness into the senses. So noticing the sounds. If your eyes are open, then you can notice what's in your field of awareness. You can do it either way, though, eyes open or closed. Feeling a sense of your body and sensing what it's like to shift into being the Shema, being the activity of awareness, and kind of letting yourself be interested, not disinterested, but interested. What is this moment like? What does it feel like right now just to be and explore this sense of being, this mystery of being? And now bringing your awareness to your breathing, just gently adding the visualization, really a sensorization or a perceptualization of feeling your body kind of pulsate with light as you breathe. So as you breathe in, feeling the body enlivened and becoming luminescent. And then as you breathe out, feeling the radiance of the light within your body radiating outward, just breathing very naturally at this point. Breathing light in and shining light out with out-breaths. And as we're just continuing to breathe naturally, bringing to mind the image of the letter Yud in the space of your head, and the hay, with the top of the hay as your shoulders, and the two arms of the hay as your two arms, so that the hay is living in your chest, and the vav in your body as your spine, but extending down mostly into your belly, below the hay. And then seeing the final hay as your hips and legs, so that you can have a sense of the divine name within and enlivening your body. And now in a moment, we'll begin doing the breathing of the divine name, remembering that the yud is the head, the hay is the chest, the vav is the belly. And I'll say the different permutations of the letters, and as we take in the three sips of air, that will direct our attention to those three parts of the body. So here we go, breathing in yud, hey, and vav, and pointing left hand up and extending the Shema as a beam of light up into the heavens, chanting Shema. And breathing in yud, vav, hey, right hand points down, Yisrael, down into the ground. Yisrael. And drawing the first circle, left hand forward, right hand backward, following it all the way around. So right hand faces forward, left hand faces backward, breathing in, hey, yud, vav, and Adonai to the front, Yadonai. Breathing in, hey, vav, yud. Exhaling, Eloheinu to the back, Tracing the second circle, breathing naturally as we do, right hand to the right, left hand to the left, and following the circle all the way around horizontally so that left hand faces right and right hand faces left, and breathing in vav, yud, hey, and Yadonai to the right, Yadonai. And breathing in vav, hey, yud, echad to the left while making the final circle. Echad. Bringing in baruch with the left hand. Baruch. Shem from the right, Shem. Kavod from behind with the left hand, Kavod. Malchuto from the front with the right, Malchuto. Leolam from below with the right, Leolam. Va'ed from above with the left, Va'ed. Bringing hands to the heart. Chanting Ve'ahavta, Ve'ahavta, Et Adonai Elohecha, Bechol Levavecha. Bringing right hand to your heart, taking the intention of offering your awareness freely generously as a gift to the fullness of all that is, the fullness of this moment as it's manifesting with Lecha. Deep breath in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly, chanting Uvechol Nafshecha. Uvechol Nafshecha. Saturating the organs within your body with your awareness. Shining down from your belly, down through your legs, down to your feet and toes. Shining awareness up from your belly into your heart and lungs, into your shoulders and neck, flowing like a waterfall down through your arms, down to your hands and fingers, and shining into your face, your facial muscles, your skull, your brain, bringing a little smile to your lips to reflect this generosity of being, generosity of presence, resting awareness on the flow of your breathing. And anchoring this body awareness with Na'ase. Deep breath in. Na'ase. And bringing right hand to lightly touch your forehead, chanting Uvechol Meodecha. Uvechol Meodecha. Bringing to mind that awareness extends beyond your body in a vast borderless field without any real boundary, without any shape, without any limits. The field of experience within which everything is felt, thought, and known. And that you are this open, vast field. Venishma, deep breath in. Venishma. I'm kissing your fingers, relaxing your hands. Atahu Atiyahi. Allowing the vibration of the words to point us ever more deeply back again and again into the actuality of how this moment is, how it transforms. Atahu, 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 atyahi, atyahi. Atyahi, atyahi, atahu, 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 atyahi. Atyahi, 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 atahu. And just resting your thought, your thinking mind with the vibration of the words, really giving your mind permission to take a break from all kinds of ordinary thinking. Just reminding it again and again. Nope, you're on break. Just Atahu. That's all we have to do. We'll just sit in silence like this for about 3 minutes, okay? And closing once again with the three portals. So bringing right hand to your heart, offering awareness with Lecha, deep breath in. Lecha. And left hand to your belly. Once again, saturating your body with awareness, letting your body be a temple for presence. Na-se, deep breath in. Na-se. And right hand coming to your forehead. Aware of the open, vast space of presence all around you, all around your body, beyond the body. Vinishma. Vinishma. Amen. Atahu. I'm just going to unmute folks. There we go.
Hello.
Hello. How was that for you?
Good.
Yeah.
Quiet.
That's good.
Well, this is the second meditation for me today, so today's especially a peaceful day.
Thank God. Good. Me too.
Good.
Good. So this was our last class. And I just want to tell you a little bit about my plans, my thinking of how to carry this forward. Some of you may know that I also am in the middle right now of teaching a class which is based on the Hebrew letters and 10 Sfirot and actually contains this Shema practice within it. So this is sort of like step two after the basic IJM practice. And then that other class is step three. So that class takes a lot longer. We're kind of in the middle of the Aleph Bet right now. But I'm in the process of creating a context by which people who are learning these higher level practices can practice together in a form similar to what we're doing right now on the Zoom. And it would be, rather than be a finite class that would last a certain number of weeks, it would kind of be a different level to the whole membership. In addition to our weekly live streams, we would get together in an interactive way on the Zoom, do these higher level practices, and also have dialogue, be able to talk to each other in a way that we can't do on the live streams, because those are just kind of one way. So that's coming. And when that comes, there will also be this Shema class. I'm going to do it in a different form. So it'll be a series of videos, and I'll give those to you so that you can, if you want to go back, of course, you can always look. These videos of these classes will be available, but also the new ones, I'll send those to you as well because you took this class. So you can have all of the later materials that I make with that. And I'm also going to turn the Hebrew letters class, which Ruth is in, into a series of videos as well. So those will be more accessible to come back. And you'll hear all about it. I'm kind of in the process of creating those things right now. So in the next month or two, hopefully I'll be ready to roll it out and tell you guys more about it.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, it's been wonderful meditating with you for these last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I look forward to seeing some of you in person soon. I guess Peter's in the Bay, Steven's in Tucson, and Ruth, I hope I get to see you in person at some point soon. Yeah. You're way up in the East.
Right. Oh, well. What are we going to do?
We all kind of came from there anyway, right?
Well, there you go.
I think. But,
My sister lives in Berkeley.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, Albany.
Yeah, just north of Berkeley. Yeah.
Right
there. So do you ever get out there?
Every so often, but not right now.
Yeah, of course not right now. Well, if it ever comes to a point where you're making a plan to go out there, and it works and is convenient, just check the Tour of Awakening schedule. Maybe we can, you can be there during the times when we're doing things there too.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I will, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a sweet evening, everybody. Look forward to seeing you all soon.
You too.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Good night, everybody. Nice being with you.
Yeah, you too.
Kodesh
Tov. All right.
Happy New Month.
Yes.
God bless.
Bye.
All right. Blessings, everyone. Bye.